It's time for another episode of Game Warden Connection. Your resource for the outdoors. I hope you're ready. Because here's your host, Carlos Gomez and Joe Alexander.
No prettier sky than Oklahoma. When a duck comes down through that clear Oklahoma sky, there's nothing on the planet like it. God, I've just died and gone to heaven.
Welcome back to the Game Warden Connection podcast. I'm your host, Joe Alexander. Sitting across from me is my cohort, Mr. Carlos Gomez. And we are excited to bring you this bonus episode of the GWC podcast. And in this episode, we're going to dive headfirst into the kitchen to catch up with our cast of waterfowlers as we go from field to table with their favorite recipes on how to cook duck. Each one of these guys are going to explain their tricks and their techniques on how to prepare these high-flying favorites for the dinner table. We're going to kick things right off, and we're going to go to Eric. Eric is the duckaholic from South Carolina from our previous episode. So here's Eric's recipes.
So Eric, I'm a big eater, man. I'm a food guy. Tell us just real quick, what's your favorite recipe for a mallard?
Duck bombs. To lay it out, that would be one side of the breast butterflied, and then take cream cheese and a jalapeno slice and wrap it in bacon. Do some sort of Carolina vinegar, red pepper barbecue sauce on it while you're basting it on the grill, medium rare. I'll tell you what, that's it.
Oh yeah, that sounds delicious.
It does sound good.
That makes my mouth water right now. I'm just throwing that out there.
It's good. It's spicy now. You got to like the spice.
And I had to do that because ducks, if you're a novice duck hunter and you're coming into this without a mentor and you bring a duck home and you try to cook it, it can go south on you fast. You can get your feelings hurt. That's a better way to put it. They're a very strong flavored bird. And they're not always easy to cook until you get a little experience and you kind of know what your end goal is. And so when I get around duck hunters, I ask them, what's your favorite recipe? And I can tell real quick whether they've even cooked one or not.
Right.
Or whether they like the last one they cooked. But folks like yourself that have quite a bit of experience and decades of doing this, they normally have it dialed in and they normally have a couple of recipes that are actually pretty easy. So with the public format that we're into here, I really wanted to share that for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like Ben said that there's a few recipes that these guys, once you get them into duck camp, they always throw this dish together, whether it's gumbo or something like that, that they do for duck camp, because, people like yourself, when you travel, I mean, you're going to eat duck on the road because you've got fresh meat, and you're probably going to be cooking and that sort of thing. So,
smoking, the pellet smokers have gone a long way into being able to do some things. And duck jambalaya is really good, but you kind of got to, if you're going to do mallards and something like that, you want to let them spend some time in ice water and, really let them bleed down the best you can. But, teal and widgeons and pintails, they're not nearly as strong, and they're amazing in, jambalaya and stuff like that.
Yeah. What's your favorite duck to eat?
If I had to say, probably a green-winged teal, more than likely. The meat's very gray. It's not nearly as dark. It's extremely pliable. I'm not even sure if that's the right word, but it's a much daintier meat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're working with a smaller cut of meat too.
It's a big dove, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big dove.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm on me, it's kind of a toss up between teal and wood ducks, but that's just,
yeah.
That's
wood
just
ducks, only thing, no fat, or at least ours here. And they can be a nightmare to clean.
Well, you know, you just got to take a little extra
time. The point that you're bringing up, Eric, that I think is real important, that I appreciate listening to you guys go on about on this dinner fare, is the sportsman is a whole project. It's not just go out and kill. It's not just a photograph. It's not just having a Labrador. It's the whole package. And a guy that needs to know how to prepare and consume his harvest is important. That's a big step of being really a true waterfowler, is a guy that knows how to bring it to the table. So I really,
yes, sir. That's why I don't shoot geese.
That's why you don't shoot geese.
Well, and we talked earlier about reaching out to professionals for finding information, you know, and people will call and ask about public area boundaries or lake level conditions or duck numbers. In my career, I'm not sure anyone's ever called me for a recipe for any animal.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, for the listener, if you shot some rabbits and you're not real sure how to cook rabbits, give us a call.
Yeah.
I mean, and if I don't know somebody I know, we'll know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We can come up with a recipe for sure.
I can definitely get a novice hunter the information they need to get off on the right foot.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I can't believe you. Yeah. You're like no geese. So I've eaten goose before and there are some ways that you cook it that goes about that makes it good or better. I wouldn't say it's, you know, wood duck good or teal good, but it's still good. I've got a good recipe for goose fajitas that works out well. And it just like everything, you cook it long enough and it's going to turn into boot leather. So you've got to, you know, there's a fine line there between how you cook them and that sort of thing. But
you just haven't, found the right stuff to mix with your goose, Eric.
Sky carp, you know, that's all I can think of. You know, and unfortunately for me, anytime I have shot them, I am that guy. I'm going to eat them and, you know, it'll keep me from shooting them.
Well, I'm not pointing fingers. We may have some goose hunters listening to this or carp fishermen. So, you know, we're all in it together. This is it's a team effort here.
I've had some great goose hunts while I was duck hunting. So that's just, you know, things to think about.
Yeah. I'll keep thinking about it.
Well, Eric, we sure do appreciate you calling in.
I do too, man. It's been fun and insightful, and I'm glad I was able to do it, and I appreciate it as well.
All right. Well, we're going to let you go. We appreciate you being part of the podcast. Keep in touch.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. Take care, Eric. All right,
thank you. You have a good day.
Now let's see how Hugh McLaren likes to cook ducks.
Hugh, let me try to wind up with something here that we visited with the last sportsman on, and that is your favorite duck recipe.
My wife is from Eastern Shore, Maryland, Chesapeake Bay, and she kind of slow cooks it in water with a little bit of vinegar in the water and seasoning and vegetables, and I guess we enjoy it that way a lot. Another great way is, you know, take it out the field and, you know, if you can take them home, a lot of times I'll take a 3-man limit if I have that much all the way home on ice, or, you know, breast it out with a wing on. But if you'll slice those little fillets, you know, I don't know, 3/8 of an inch thick, and get a jalapeno pepper and a sweet onion or a Vidalia onion, and roll that in the fillet. Roll it up and wrap it with bacon and a toothpick and bake it. It's sweet and tart. And I know people that have served them to, you know, the ladies and kind of the high-end affair, and didn't tell them what they were because they wouldn't dare eat wild game. And they clean the plate and said, if you've got any more of those were delicious. And then he told them what it was. Duck, I don't eat duck.
What did you tell them it was when you served it?
dinner.
I don't. They just said the hors d'oeuvres. It's okay, great. Yeah. Gosh, wrapped bacon. Yeah, this is great.
Now, are you cooking that to like a well done, or is that a medium rare dish, or how far are you cooking those in that oven?
Just kind of put it in the oven and slow bake it. You know, you want to bake it till it's done. But that meat's so thin, it doesn't take a whole lot.
Sure.
And then the jalapeno and the sweet onion caramelize just a little bit. And you want to make sure the bacon's done. So maybe 200 degrees for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, just keep checking on it. And people will clean the platter.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds real good.
Yeah. So if you want to really turn somebody on to duck, another thing we do here is mustard fried venison. Get cubed venison and dip it in mustard and wine, or mustard and water, and then roll them in flour and deep fry it. Oh my gosh,
that sounds delicious too.
Yeah, now that's a new one on me.
Mustard fried venison.
Would that work on the flying carp?
Geese?
I bet it would. I bet it would. And yeah, geese are good to eat. I mean, my wife's from Eastern Shore, Maryland, and they used to call it the Christmas goose instead of the turkey, but got to be cooked right.
Do you have a goose recipe you'd share? We're trying to put a little information out for folks that might be listening that are still learning this craft and learning their way around it, and we wanted to understand how important it is when they do harvest these birds to take them to the table and enjoy what they've killed.
Right. Now, you can pick a duck. It has a lot of fat underneath the skin, and just bake it like you would a turkey. But they dry out a lot faster than tame birds, tame turkeys, chickens. So you need to provide water. So maybe cook them in water and vegetables, and stick onion in the cavity. And then when it's just, and make sure it's falling off the bone. Nobody wants to eat a tough piece of goose. And then bake that skin right at the end. You know, 350, 400 degrees, and get that skin nice and brown. But try those duck poppers. That would certainly work with goose, too. And then snack sticks made out of goose are outstanding. Go to your local deer processor if he's okay with it. Yeah. They are absolutely outstanding.
It's almost like a jerky, or maybe even a sausage, a snack stick style.
Summer sausage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the little snack sticks, you know, it looks like a slim
straw. Yeah.
It looks like a straw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're a little bit expensive, but they're outstanding.
That sounds good too.
Yeah. All this stuff is good if you cook it right. You can make duck poppers out of goose.
Yep.
And you can freeze those. You can wrap them up and stick a toothpick in them and stick them in the freezer. Pull them out when you're ready.
Would you cook them frozen, or would you let them thaw out for a few hours before you put them where they go?
I think I cook them. I just cook them frozen. Yeah.
Okay.
Cook them. You're going to basically take them out when that bacon's done, and tinker with it.
That's a good tip there for someone that's had a big day with a handful of people, and they've got more meat than they're going to have in one meal. They can put some of that up and have it again in a few days or whatever.
Try that mustard fried venison, mustard and cooking wine, or if you got wine or just water, salt and pepper. Oh, you just can't believe it. My mother doesn't eat any venison, and she just said, "What in the world have you got any more of that?"
That sounds good. I'm going to try that. That's a new one on me.
Yes, sir. It's outstanding.
Well, Hugh, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you sharing with us your passion for waterfowl, and I told these guys that you would have some fun information for us to sharpen ourselves up on.
I enjoy talking about it, and if I can ever help any kind of way, let me know. If y'all have a banquet, please let me support your cause, and appreciate so much what y'all do.
Let's see what Game Warden Ben Half's favorite duck recipe is.
Let me cough up a couple recipes then.
Uh-oh.
If you got room for me.
Yeah, yeah. How about your favorite recipe for ducks?
So my favorite recipe for ducks is one of the more simple things you can do. And as an Okie, I proudly wear that term, we're going to talk about frying some ducks. So there were others that discussed grilling, smoking.
I don't know that we eat fried food in Oklahoma.
You may not.
Is this like the chicken fried steak capital of the world?
We like our fried food here. That's
so
for sure.
With a duck breast of about any species you're going to take in Oklahoma, take those breast fillets, and you're going to want to slice them thin. And when I say thin, somewhere around a quarter of an inch. It doesn't have to be that specific. Tenderize them a little bit with a fork or whatever tenderizing tool you have. You're going to want to roll those in salt and pepper and then in some flour. Or if you like to fry with an egg batter, then you'll want to whip up some eggs and then add your flour and roll them in that, combination there where they've got a batter on them. Get your cooking oil up to around 375, something kind of hot, and let those things fry. Sprinkle a few in at a time. Be careful not to burn yourself with the grease. And when they quit bubbling loud and they start floating, scoop them out of there and get them on a plate with some paper towels so any excess grease will drain.
So you're doing a deep fry.
That's like a deep fry.
I'm talking quick deep fry, making like what you would think of as like a steak finger with thinly sliced duck breast. Okay.
Cast iron skillet sounds like it would be.
Yeah. Well, or whatever. Fryer. Deep fryer, turkey fryer, whatever you want to do there. It's a little messy. So if you use like a big deep fryer, you're going to dirty up some grease pretty fast. But, the other thing that goes with that is what we're calling the red sauce. And you're going to want to put horseradish sauce and ketchup equal parts in a bowl.
This is like the crawdad red sauce.
With a splash. No, it's a little different than the cocktail sauce. This is your duck sauce.
Okay.
So horseradish and ketchup equal parts. And then a splash of Worcestershire, maybe a little more pepper. And whip that into kind of a pink red looking color.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like deer bite dipping sauce.
It's going to be good on about anything fried that you prefer a little kick. I will say if horseradish is a little strong for you, then go a little heavier on the ketchup. Or if you really like that bite and those open nostrils, go a little heavier on the horseradish. You'll want to vary that to taste. Mm-hmm. But
I got to interject right here that I've been getting more and more into eating the deer heart on a deer that I harvest. Elk heart, of course, is really delicious, brought to me by an elk hunting buddy, Warden in Montana, who got me started on elk heart. But I don't get that many elk hearts. So on a deer heart, I found that I would fry it lightly spiced up, basic spices, nothing fancy, and then dip it in ranch. Just a little light, just not a bunch, just a little light taste of ranch dip on a little piece of fried up heart. So I bet it'd be real good on some duck breast too.
It really is the same kind of goal there. You've got something fried and kind of crispy, and then you've got some
flavor.
Dipping sauce you like, and you're pairing those together. And I bring the recipes up because ducks have a reputation that's not always great. Folks that have eaten ducks that were maybe not a good cook or not familiar with how to cook them, they get a very strong flavored product that's got a lot of that liver taste, and everybody that's eaten a little bit of liver knows what I'm talking about. And that is not a flavor a lot of folks enjoy. Mm-hmm. So if they've cooked ducks that were too tough or too strong in that flavor, they don't want to eat any more of it. And if you're going to get into waterfowling and, let's say you figure out what you're doing and you start shooting piles of ducks, you need to figure out how you're going to cook them. And the recipe I just spit out is great for, the football party. It's great for the gathering, the family, whatever. They can be served as appetizers. They can be served, in the duck camp. We're going to hunt today and hunt tomorrow and hunt the next day. Well, pick out one of these evenings. Let's fry up some ducks. So that's a relatively simple meal. It's similar enough to something somebody else may have done, like you're discussing you've done with deer hearts. So, if you're fry cook at all, you can probably figure that one out and get that on your list. That's a good combo.
Yeah, gumbo, sounds pretty good.
My favorite waterfowl, I got to tell you, a gun club over in Coweta, a gentleman prepares two crock pots. One's got his gumbo with the sausage and various other mixtures in there with that. His other crock pot is nothing but waterfowl shredded up in there, slow cooked. One day on that, and then the second day he combines the two into a large pot and lets it slow cook for another half day or so together, and you will push everything aside to eat that waterfowl. I'm telling you, in that gumbo, it was fantastic. I'd never liked duck before that, but so it was really good.
Gumbo is on my list of ways that I love to cook ducks, but I feel like it's somewhat perverse for an Okie to be talking about gumbo in place of someone from Arkansas or Louisiana. So I'm going to give those folks a nod and let them spell out whatever their recipe would be. Because although I feel like I get the job done and we enjoy it in our house, there's a place where I know I'm not the expert. So here's a shout out to those folks down there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they know how to do it right in Louisiana, that's for sure.
Well, that gentleman just so happens he is from Louisiana.
Oh, well, there you go. So he knows. Well, awesome. Right. Now, on your when you're talking about your duck, are you putting that in any kind of water or anything? You soaking that? Are you using some, you know, we've heard about using vinegar and stuff like that in the water. I personally use a brine. Sometimes I'll mix up a little brine water, a little salt and sugar in a water bath and, you know, let them set in that overnight before I'll cook them. And, it seems to do okay. Kind of like a turkey brine, sort of that sort of flavor. But do you brine your ducks or just float them in water in the ice box?
I've done some of both, and just to keep it simple for somebody new, I wouldn't bother with either. I would get them clean, you know, your breast halves on a plate, and maybe if you're not ready to cook them right away, they can sit in the refrigerator a handful of days as long as they're covered. This meat is very lean and will dry out fast, so you don't want it sitting on a plate uncovered. It'll start to really dry out.
Right.
I don't think you can hurt them with a brine. I don't think you can hurt them with a little bit of water. So if those are things you have experience cooking with and you like to do that, try it. I mean, that's the beauty of killing six of them.
Yeah.
You can do a couple this way.
Soaking something in a little salt water will help draw some of the dark blood out of a lot of those slices. Yeah,
I would caution you to be careful with that because you can pull out some of the flavor that way too. The vinegar thing, I think, is a South Carolina, Georgia. Yeah, that's an East Side
deal. That's got to be a Carolina thing.
I thought that's what the grease was for. When you're talking about getting the flavor in there, you're spicing it and you're frying it.
Well, so the duck itself has its own robust flavor that you don't want to ignore and you don't want to lose. If you overcook them, you will know it. If you bite into something that tastes like a brake pad from your brother-in-law's old Chevy truck, then you cooked them a little too far. And hopefully your dog is still around because you're not going to have any luck feeding them to anybody else.
But anything to get away from that liver flavor is what I'm...
I don't mind a little of it. You just don't want it to be overpowering and too tough.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that'll the majority of a lot of things, especially when you're talking about wild game, is when it's cooked maybe a little bit too much.
Well, and don't get me wrong. The fried recipe I spit out is not the only... There's dozens of great waterfowl recipes out there. But to keep it simple, and that's kind of one of the favorites in our circle.
Yeah. Great. To close things out, let's check with biologist James Morrell to get his favorite recipe for ducks. To end things out, you know, we've asked everybody, this is kind of a running thing with the waterfowl deal. Cause some folks don't like to eat waterfowl for whatever reason. They like to hunt them, but they don't like to actually cook them and eat them and that sort of thing. We would like to know your favorite recipe for ducks. Your go-to. Oh, yeah. How do you like to prepare?
Oh, man, that's tough. And that's a good, I'm glad you bring it up because that's what I tell a lot of folks that are kind of getting into waterfowl hunting. Learn how to cook a duck. If you learn how to cook a duck, you'll be more motivated to go out there and shoot them. That's for sure. You know, probably what I do most often is, I just do a grilled duck steak and the way that I clean those birds is I like to leave the skin on both breasts. And I'll skin it out all in one piece. And then everything's, you know, you really need to cook duck medium rare to rare. You start getting into that medium and more thoroughly cooked than that. And it starts to get pretty gamey and a little bit off putting to some people. So, a medium rare, steak is one of the best ways to do it. Probably my favorite way to do anything is I'll make duck pastrami. I'll make goose and duck and crane pastrami, which is basically just, a brine, a cold brine that goes in the fridge for 3 days and then a long smoke over, what I like to use is mesquite. You make some pretty, pretty awesome pastrami doing that way.
So when you're doing your steak, James, your breast steaks, what kind of preparation are you doing to that steak before it goes on the fire?
I do very little. I do nothing to it. Generally what I do is I do a rough clean of a duck. So I won't even pull feathers off let me start back. What I do is I'll pluck all the feathers on the breast. Okay, so I'll leave the skin, and then I'll freeze it. I won't do a lot of cleaning. I won't clean the blood out of it or anything. When I go to cook it is whenever I kind of prepare it for that. So I'll take it out. I'll singe any of the sort of downy hairs or any of the feathers that are left on that skin with a lighter or butane torch or something like that. And then I just rinse it really clean, get all the shot out of it you can, all the blood out of it you can. And then it's just straight salt, pepper, and a little garlic and a little garlic salt or garlic powder, and straight on the grill. 2 minutes per side, and you're about done.
Hmm. Simple.
Sounds very simple. I'm a little surprised as to how simple you've made that. So you find that the skin portion on one side adds a certain amount of fat and juice to the meat. Is that what you're going for?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I really love hunting late season more than anything. They've had some time to build some of those fat reserves back up, and you get a lot of that real thick fat on that breast, and that adds a lot of flavor for sure.
Yeah. Wow. And see, that's my favorite part of a chicken is its skin. So.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Now,
fat equals flavor, you know.
That's right. No doubt.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And the pastrami deal, that's something I haven't tried. That would be something good to try as well. I've heard some recipes of pastrami's and like corned beef type deal, you know, for different for deer and whatnot. So yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, the pastrami is only broke out with those that I love the most. That's for sure.
Well, that's definitely the case if you're cooking, you know, sandhills, some cranes and stuff like that. You know, that's the ribeye of the sky. So.
Right.
Yeah. Well, James, we can't thank you enough for being part of the podcast. You're just a fountain of information, and I'm sure that as time goes on, we will reach out to you again, because I'm sure there'll be a lot of waterfowlers that will have some questions later on that we'll get to, and we sure appreciate you.
Sure. Happy to do it anytime, and appreciate the opportunity.
Well, that wraps up our series on Oklahoma waterfowl. I hope you enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun making it. Be sure and try some of these recipes this season. I know I sure will. Until next time, we'll see you down the trail. Well, folks, that wraps up another episode. Thanks for listening to the Game Warden Connection podcast. You know, we set out to make this podcast a resource to help anyone get more out of the outdoors. And it doesn't matter if you're a hunter, fisherman, or an explorer. We're here for you. Do you have some questions? Or maybe comments? Please reach out to us on our website, gamewardenconnection.com, or on Facebook. And we'll do all we can to make a connection between you and an agency or industry professional. And along this journey, we'll find the answers you've been looking for. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star review to help us grow and reach more people in our community. The views expressed on this podcast are solely those of the participants and not affiliated with any agency. And lastly, if you enjoy the outdoors, then pass on that tradition and introduce someone new to the wonderful experiences to be had hunting, fishing, and exploring. Until next time, folks, enjoy the great outdoors.